You are about to hear the most interesting, informative, thought-provoking, opinion-leading, and funny show in America, on air and on the World Wide Web. This is The Rob Carson Show.
And by the grace of God, it is finally Friday. Welcome to it, everybody. The big news, I guess, right now, breaking news is that there was a magnitude 4.8 earthquake near New York City. Its epicenter in New Jersey. It's rattling the tri-state. Joe Biden has been briefed. New York bridges, tunnels, and subway networks are urgently being checked for cracks, and Letitia James has already determined that it is Donald Trump's fault, and he should be fined $1 billion, $1 trillion for it. So there you go. That's the big news today. Yeah, there was an earthquake that almost nobody felt. But anyway, it was a big earthquake and all of that. Oh, and the other big news is that Corinne Jean-Pierre has renamed the Francis Scott Key Bridge.
Six individuals tragically lost their lives when the Francis Scott King Bridge collapsed last week.
Francis Scott King Bridge. I guess they're going to call it the Francis Scott Key Bridge, King Bridge, because of... I guess Martin Luther King and Francis Scott Key or whatever. But, you know, if you're going to be the presidential spokesman, you might know the name of the guy who wrote the national anthem.
Six individuals tragically lost their lives when the Francis Scott King Bridge collapsed last week.
King Bridge. So where are you going to be when you watch the big lunar eclipse like that's never happened before? Do you realize you can't find an Airbnb in Indiana because everybody's going to Indiana to watch the moon go in front of the sun? Woo! Oh, my God. This never happens. Oh, my God. Oh, really? I mean, honestly, I mean, it is cool, but, I mean, it's kind of like watching a football game on the television. You get a better seat when you watch it on TV. So, anyway, I thought we'd do kind of a moon-related song about Democrats. So here is Jim Gossett.
When you vote Democrat, it's obvious that you're a moron. When a Dem takes control, drives us into a hole, they're a moron. They are bad, oh so very bad, and it's sad when a Dem gets elected.
La Luna.
Clear to see, very clear to see, the economy, look at how they have wrecked it.
That's pretty bad.
You're affected.
Big time.
Want to defund police, cause of them we get fleeced, they're all morons. Don't deserve your support, how they love to abort, have no soul. They don't care about you. As gas prices continue to soar on.
Nice rhyme.
Democrats are a joke and incredibly woke. They're all morons.
There you go.
They're all morons.
Yes, they are. Lovely, lovely. Great way to start the show. Welcome to Friday. The number is 800-922-6680. President Derpy Doo was out yesterday. I guess it was a campaign stop. He was out there doing another speech, and he repeated the big lie. It was the big lie. About traveling 17,000 miles with Chinese Premier President Xi Jinping. I believe it was on Yakback. They were riding on the back of yaks. And he said this again yesterday. We decided that we'd help out the president a little bit, and we'd add some sound to it to make it sound more credible, make it sound more like, you know, because he said he was on the Tibetan plateau riding on a yak with maybe side saddle or maybe right behind Xi Jinping with his arms wrapped around Xi Jinping's little belly there because he looks like Winnie the Pooh. But anyway, here's the update.
I was once asked by Xi Jinping, and I traveled 17,000 miles with him in Tibet. I was on the Tibetan Plateau, and he looked at me and he said to me,
"What?
Can you define America?" And I could say the same thing if he asked me to define Greece. I said, "Yes, one word." And I mean it sincerely. It's recorded. I said one word: possibilities.
Possibilities. Yes.
Possibility.
You just said it twice.
Possibility.
Possibility. Nice. I gotta hear the end of that again. That was pretty funny. Hold on.
Word. Possibilities. Possibility. Possibilities.
Fades off into the distance, and they rode off together. You can almost see the sun and the yak with its horns sticking out on either side, and the two pudgy, well, the one pudgy and the one kind of skinny, demented guy on the back, riding off into the sunset. With by the way, the Washington Post gave that one a bunch of they described the distinction as false or misleading statements repeated so often they became a form of propaganda. A bottomless Pinocchio for that story, apparently. So, yeah, I guess it probably didn't happen. Oh, and then he said yesterday, because, you know, he was raised in the Puerto Rican community. He drove a truck. What else? He graduated top in his class in law school. Bunch of other things. And he also apparently was raised in the Greek community. So we decided to dress this up, too, to add a little bit of credibility. Joe Biden saying yesterday that he was raised in the Greek community.
One of the things that I learned early on was that I had a very close relationship with the Greek-American community, for real, in the heart, and real, and the church there as well.
Okay, hold on. I got the one that where is the I have this one here. Here is the Biden. This is the new one here. Hopefully, there we go. No, that's not it. We'll get that for you. We do have we did dress it up a little bit, the Greek community comment yesterday, but he apparently was raised in the Greek community. So there's that. Joe Biden. That's your president, by the way. Your president of the United States. Apparently Greek. He was raised there. And then, of course, we all know that he and his wife are very, very much Hispanics at heart.
So say it with me. Si se puede. The future is ours.
I was sort of raised in the Puerto Rican community at home politically.
The diversity of this community, as distinct as the Bogotas of the Bronx, as beautiful as the blossoms of Miami, and as unique as the breakfast tacos here in San Antonio.
I just have one thing to say. Hang on here. I tell you what, if I had the talent of any one of these people, I'd be elected president by acclamation.
There you go. So he's a little bit everything. He's like my son's dog DNA test. He is, seriously. Yesterday, my son, he called me. He was very excited because he's got a puppy. And this dog, he was kind of debating what this dog was. And I think Joe Biden might be like a dog because he's Greek and he's Mexican or Puerto Rican and he's Irish, I guess, and whatever. And my son literally have it right here. He got this dog from the SPCA. SPCA. Da, 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 da. And literally, it's from Embark. Embark is the name of the company. and we found out yesterday, listen to this. The dog, family tree. The parents were mixed. So we're not really sure. Kind of like Barack Obama, I guess. Anyway, then we find out the grandparents. Now we know what the grandparents were. Listen to this. Australian cattle dog, American pit bull terrier, Great Pyrenees mix. So grandma may have been an American pit bull terrier and Great Pyrenees mix. That was probably pretty ugly. Australian cattle dog and Labrador retriever mix was the other grandparent. And then the other grandparent on the whatever side was an Australian cattle dog, American pit bull mix. And then the other one was a Cachula leopard dog and Siberian husky mix. And then it also has the grandparents, the great grandparents here on this DNA test right here. And it also, literally, I printed off, it's 35 pages, this dang thing, and it talks about all the diseases the dog may. I didn't get that when I got my DNA test a couple years ago. I found out that I always thought I was Irish and English, found out I'm English and Irish and more Cherokee Indian than Elizabeth Warren. I know, seriously, it was pretty crazy. But yesterday it was funny because I looked at my email and I had the DNA test for my son's dog had arrived and attached to it was this file. I'm going to go ahead and play it.
You are not
the father. Not the father. Okay, I'm not sure if that was worth the joke. I'm not sure if it was worth waiting that long for that joke. But yeah, he got a DNA test. All right, some other things here. Let's get to the serious business of the show today. Yesterday, there was one poll. I think it was on the UK Daily Mail, and it showed Joe Biden was ahead in one state. And they were saying, oh, my God, this has really turned things around. And I'm saying, well, what did Joe Biden do differently yesterday? Yesterday, wasn't it the day yesterday or the day before, he was an hour late to a speech and he showed up and he still had his CPAP mask, impressions on either side of his face. Is that what did it? The economy's still terrible. I guess there were more jobs created because people are coming out of retirement because they have to work, and fewer people can afford to not work, apparently. So he got one poll yesterday, apparently, where he was showing some traction. Maybe it was Joe Biden saying that he was the Joe Minim was really catching on there. Well, in another poll, unfortunately, not so much. Former President Donald Trump now has an 8-point lead over his fraudulency, according to Breitbart. Joe Biden in the latest poll from Rasmussen. Well, Rasmussen's all partisan. Well, yeah, but all the other ones are partisan toward the left. In a 3-way race that includes candidate Robert Kennedy Jr., Trump still comes out by on top by 6 points, 44 for Trump, 38 for Biden, 10 for Kennedy. With the two third-party candidates added, Trump leads by a healthy 7 points. Trump 45, Biden 38, Kennedy 9, Cornell West, really, 2%, Jill Stein, 1%. In a 2-way race, I'm not one to confuse you here. This is almost as confusing as my son's dog DNA test. In a 2-way race, Biden earns just 48% of the black vote. What? Yeah. While Trump sits at 39% of the black vote? Did you just hear that? Did you just hear that? Wow, it almost sounds like a lot of people of color are realizing that the Democrat Party has never been on their side. That's pretty crazy. We haven't seen those numbers in my lifetime. Seriously. Trump beats Biden among Hispanics. What? Yeah, because Joe Biden thinks that Hispanics come here only to put a leaf blower on their backs and pick our crops. That's what the Democrat thinks. I think they do other stuff. I think they become CEOs and own businesses and stuff, because I've got a lot of them in my neighborhood. Like, I mean, all sorts of Hispanic-owned businesses here. And I'll bet they hire white people to pick their produce. Anyway, among younger voters, 18 to 39, Biden is up by a single point, 43 to 42. And a good share of those are going to go vote for Robert F. Kennedy Jr. With all five candidates competing, the numbers still look terrible for Biden. Biden only earned 44% of the black vote, 29% of Hispanics, 37% of 18 to 39. Trump won 26% of black vote, 48% of Hispanics, 19 points above Joe Biden, and 37% of the 18 to 39 votes. So maybe a lot of those Hispanics don't like how the Democrat Party likes to talk about them and the possibilities. Here's some other bad news for the Democrat Party. You know Jamal Bowman, the guy who pulled the fire alarm like an eighth grade high school or an eighth grade middle school student trying to get out of a test, and he used to be a principal at a middle school. Jamal Bowman, who has the backing of fellow squad members Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Rashida Tlaib, and Cori Bush, is facing off against primary challenger Westchester County Executive George Latimer and is behind by 17 points. Yeah, by 17 points. Now, one of the great things this guy has done is that he wants $14 trillion in reparations for black people. Which, you know, would put us, well, would bankrupt the country even more than we already are. And then, of course, he pleaded guilty to the misdemeanor of falsely pulling a fire alarm in the congressional office building as his colleagues prepared to vote on a government funding measure. So there you go. There's a little bit of polling. Oh, and then one other thing on the polling, and we've got a lot of other stuff to get to. No Labels apparently is ending its effort to cobble together a presidential ticket. So there will be no Label ticket, and it won't be Robert Kennedy Jr. And his running mate. So there is that. Now, listen, we got a bunch of stuff to get to, including Joe Biden threatening Israel, which is pretty much laughable. Charlemagne Fugod talks about DEI, and he's not down with it. And, of course, your phone calls if you want to chime in at 800-922-6680. This is a Friday edition of The Rob Carson Show.
The Rob Carson Show podcast is everywhere. Go to Newsmax.com/listen for details.
It is a Friday edition of the Rob Carson Show. The number is 800-922-6680. I want to remind you this weekend, my TV show, Rob Carson's What in the World, is on Newsmax. This weekend is really good. It's very funny, rapid fire, boom, 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 kind of like the hamster wheel in my head. 8 o'clock Saturday night, then again on Sunday, and then Monday morning is when Donald Trump watches it. If you want to get a membership to Newsmax Plus, .com. Just sign up there. It's $5 a month. It's a good deal. Otherwise, if you got you know, your cable, a lot of cable systems, and DirecTV channel 349. But I think you'll enjoy it. Here's Joe Biden yesterday, pandering to the Greek community, and we dressed it up a little here, so a little more authentic this way.
One of the things that I learned early on was that I had a very close relationship with the Greek American community, for real.
For real. For real.
In the heart. And we, I mean, it,
yeah.
Real.
Yeah.
In the church there as well.
Yeah, the church there as well. The Greek church there, whatever. I have a closer relationship to the Greek community. I've been going to Greek festivals for years. So there you go, including the great Panieri Festival in Cincinnati, Ohio. Used to go every single year. Yeah, No Labels is ending its effort to cobble together a presidential ticket. I think they tried this with a grocery store once, and nobody bought any of the groceries. It was like, what is in this can? I have no idea. No idea whatsoever. So yesterday, the Joe Biden threatened Israel. I don't know if you heard about this. Joe Biden... He's really good at making threats and, you know, saying I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And here's a red line and there's a red line. And the world's our enemies normally just go, ha ha, funny, funny, funny. Right. But yesterday, apparently, he drew a line in the sand or whatever's left of Gaza and demanded an immediate ceasefire from Israel. And he talked to Benjamin Netanyahu on the phone, apparently fell asleep at least three times, emphasized the strikes on humanitarian workers and the overall humanitarian situation are unacceptable. It's kind of weird because Joe Biden, he went after supposedly some of the terrorists who blew up 13 of our Marines in Afghanistan and killed a family of 10. Do you remember that? Do you remember that? Yeah, our forces killed a family of 10 innocent people. Didn't hear a lot about that. Yeah, he made clear the need for Israel to announce and implement a series of specific, concrete, and measurable steps to address civilian harm, humanitarian suffering, and the safety of aid workers. Biden's statement confirms the U.S. had effectively adopted Hamas' demand that a ceasefire precede a deal to release the remaining 134 Israeli hostages. Oh, we have like 10 American hostages. He's never said anything about them. Not a single word. Do you know any of the American hostages who are still being held? Anybody? Have you seen them on the cover of a newspaper or anything? No, you haven't. No, you haven't. Now, Bundy Fandas, he yesterday was on TV, and he tried to brush aside the fact that Hamas embeds its the civilians in their with their military. Okay, so they like put machine guns and RPGs and weapons in hospitals and stuff. And here is Bernie Sanders blowing off what Hamas does that is inhumane to do a ceasefire.
Many innocent people are dying in Gaza is because Hamas embeds with the Palestinian people. They build tunnels under their homes. They hide under people. They want all the civilian death toll. They consider them martyrs, and it makes Israel look bad.
I think that is perhaps a part of the problem, but it's not the real problem. The real problem right now is we are looking, as I mentioned a moment ago, a massive starvation that is not caused by Hamas.
Yeah, okay. Well, anyway, we've got a bunch of stuff on this, including Tony Blinken preaching, Palestinians celebrating, and some very interesting audio from the area of Gaza coming up. Here's a number, 800-922-6680. This, my friends, is a Friday edition of the Rob Carson Show.
Hey guys, it's Carson. You know, everybody knows the next medical crisis just around the corner, whether it comes in the form of a pandemic or something more mundane like a tick bite, you and your family need to be prepared. That's where the Wellness Company comes in. The Wellness Company and their doctors are medical professionals that you can trust, and their new medical emergency kits are the gold standard when it comes to keeping you safe and healthy. Be ready for anything. This medical emergency kit contains an assortment of life-saving medications, including ivermectin and Z-Pak. From anthrax to tick bites to COVID, even a bioweapon like a plague, the Wellness Company medical emergency kit is exactly what you need to have on hand to be prepared. Rest assured knowing that you have emergency antibiotics, antivirals, antiparasitics on hand to make sure you and your family are safe from whatever the globalists throw at us next. Go to www.twc.health/Carson. Again, twc.health/Carson today and order. That's twc.health/Carson and use the promo code Carson to save 10%. Friday on the Rob Carson Show. Coming up, there was a son of the guy who invented, came up with Hamas, and he was on with Dr. Phil yesterday. There are a bunch of these women who are hijab-wearing supporters of Hamas on Dr. Phil's show. And I made a comment this morning because the women who support Hamas and a lot of these women in the United States, who generally they're ones who get up on the stage and shriek about from the river to the sea, from this night we'll be free, you know, they remind me of those women who fall in love with death row inmates. It's like, I know that they killed somebody else, but they never touched me. That kind of thing, you know. And yesterday, this guy on Dr. Phil's show, whose dad created Hamas. There you go. Well, I don't think he gets a Father's Day card anymore. Masab Youssef, he put him in their place, by gosh. And I'm going to share some audio in a moment with that. You know, there are a million ways that thieves are going to get at your home or into your home. One of the ways, of course, is with this... squatting, okay? And I got a story coming up later in the show about a guy who literally leased the home from his mom that squatters were in and got them to leave. None you could do when somebody has forged your signature, pretended like they were somebody else, got a hold of your property, maybe transferred ownership of your property, or taken out a home equity loan on your property. Nothing you could do about that. You got to take them to court. You got to, spend your own money to try to make things right. Well, if you want to find out if somebody has done that to your property or is doing it, maybe trying to do it, you need to go to HomeTitleLock.com, use promo code Carson. You'll get a free comprehensive scan of your home's title and 30 days of legendary home title lock protection. They email you. Like every day, if anything happens, anything suspicious, they'll go, hey, I just wanted you to know. So it's really, really cool. It gives you peace of mind so you know your home is yours. Because look at this. Maybe the big screen TV in your house is worth $900, but your home could be worth hundreds of thousands of dollars. Don't you think the thieves would rather have that? HomeTitleLock.com, promo code Carson. HomeTitleLock.com, promo code Carson. Tony Blinken was getting all preachy yesterday. And as far as I'm concerned, as I've said with regard to Gaza, they had a shot at a two-state solution and they blew it. They had a shot. They chose to bed down with Hamas. They chose to teach their children to hate the Jews. They literally, and I've got some audio coming up, blow your mind away, about little kids, 8, 9, 10 years old, learning how to fire RPGs, learning how to hate the Jews. Half of the curriculum in the schools is hate the Jews, kill the Jews, right? And so as far as I'm concerned, evacuate the innocent, raise Gaza, raise it to powder. And then, no two-state solution. If you want to stay here and live in peace with the Jews, with the Israelis, then you can do so. If not, GTFO, go somewhere else. Because you had your shot and you blew it, all right? And listen to this. New poll. 75% of Palestinians in Gaza support the October the 7th massacre. 76% have a positive view of Hamas. 98% have a negative view of America. Well, there you go. Now, listen, I would be completely cool with as much aid in there as possible, but here's the deal. Hamas always steals everything, and they let the people suffer. Wouldn't you expect that from a group of people who literally put their rocket launchers in school playgrounds, put their soldiers and their weapons and hold hostages in hospitals? I mean, they're evil, evil people. That's it. And I would venture to say, if anything, Israel's been pretty kind. And there was an accident where some international aid workers died the other day. I mentioned that Joe Biden's administration, his military, killed a family of 10 in Afghanistan after we withdrew our troops and 13 of our Marines was killed. And we were going after the people who were responsible, killed an innocent family. So are we there? Should we be preaching to Israel? These things happen in times of war. That's just the way it is. I'm sorry. That's just the way it is. But here's Tony Blinken. He's preachifying about Israel and equating Israel with Hamas, by the way.
What happened after October 7th could have ended immediately if Hamas had stopped hiding behind civilians, released the hostages, and put down its weapons. But Israel is not Hamas. Israel is a democracy. Hamas, a terrorist organization. And democracies place the highest value on human life.
Here's where he's preaching to Israel. Now, I know that you guys are constantly under threat and people are always getting blown up. And October the 7th, there were 1,200 people murdered and raped and babies cut out of their mothers' wombs and women gang raped and shot in the head and all that. But honestly, we're better than that.
Free human life. As has been said, whoever saves a life saves the entire world. That's our strength. It's what distinguishes us from terrorists like Hamas. If we lose that reverence for human life, we risk becoming indistinguishable from those we confront.
Get off your soapbox. This is Gaza on 9/11/2001.
We're going to show you from the West Bank. These are Palestinian celebrations in the wake of Tuesday's terror attacks in the United States. Apparently, Palestinians took to the street chanting, "God is great." People were throwing candy, distributing candy to passersby. The U.S. government, obviously.
Yeah, there you go. So that's the way they were in 2001. Then Hamas rose to power in 2005, and they've been in power indoctrinating their children ever since. And now the United States of America, honestly, I would say I'm shocked. I'm not shocked about the people who are anti-Israel in our government, but I am shocked that our government is. It's ridiculous that while Israel is in its time of greatest need, we've got these AstroTurf protests happening across our country, exposing massive anti-Semitism on campuses like Berkeley, among other places. And we know that our government is trying to do the same thing in Israel. They are initiating a color revolution against Netanyahu in the middle of Israel's war against Hamas barbarians. Literally, they're doing the same stuff over there. They're stirring up leftist groups to protest Netanyahu as an attempt to overthrow him. That's our government right now. And I'm thoroughly ashamed of them. Thoroughly ashamed. For those who don't remember October the 7th, let me just remind you, okay? This is Anderson Cooper, and he was walking around, and there was this bus stop, this cement bus stop, and inside it, it looked like one of the gas chambers that you saw in the prison of war camps in Nazi Germany. And there were bloody handprints all over the walls because people sought refuge in there, and Hamas threw grenades in there and then machine gunned everybody. So, Tony Blinken, you can stick it.
To extend it, and then running away with on motorcycles with girls to Gaza?
Fleeing east across open fields was the only way out for many, but they were easy targets. Others sought safety in nearby bomb shelters. This is dashcam video of a Hamas gunman tossing a grenade into a shelter.
Yeah, full of people.
When a man runs out trying to escape, they fire on him repeatedly. In another shelter a few miles north of the festival site, about 30 people tried to hide. A man named Noam Cohen recorded inside. You can hear the panic in their voices, asking what's going on. Are there Israeli soldiers nearby? We aren't going to show you what happened next.
Yeah, they murdered them all. Yeah, murdered every single one of them. And Tony Blinken is saying, oh, but, you know, we're better than this, and we're better than that, and la, 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 la. Here's a little bit more. This is Anderson Cooper going into the shelter, and the smell of rotting flesh was so bad he had his mouth covered, and his cameraman was throwing up.
Bloody handprints on the wall. There's blood smeared on the walls. See, probably these are either bullet holes or from the grenades that were thrown in here. Body parts have already been collected from here, but blood-soaked clothes and shoes remain.
This looks to be a bloody handprint. The shelter is no more than 15 feet long, maybe 5.5, 6 feet wide.
Yeah.
The idea of so many people.
Well, there you go. You know, and it took decades for the left to forget the original Holocaust. It took weeks for the left and our mainstream media to forget the one that happened on October the 7th. This is Tal Heinrich. She is a Netanyahu spokesperson. She was on Newsmax yesterday talking about the existential threat that Israel faces.
We can sit here in New York and talk about narratives, but on the ground in Israel,
yeah,
our soldiers, our people are fighting to stay alive. You know, so there's one thing to talk about the PR war, about getting better handshakes of the United Nations corridors, more likes on social media. But trust me, Rob, Israelis, they are fighting to stay alive. We faced and we still face an existential genocidal threat called Hamas. We decided that after 16 years in which they've been in power in Gaza, they brought misery on the Palestinian people, bloodshed, terrorism on us. That's it. We no longer agree to life next to this terrorist enclave. So, yes, the PR war, that's one scene, but we're fighting to stay alive.
Yeah, and the left is looking for any excuse to stop Israel. They know that Hamas is done. If Israel is able to wipe them out, they know they're done. And the left is doing its level best to help our enemies. Help Iran, refund Iran, free up all sorts of money to Iran. We freed up billions of dollars to Iran. What the hell? It doesn't make any sense to me, but I know one thing. I'm here to protect Israel. Always have been. Dr. Phil had this guy Yusuf, Mousavi Yusuf. He was the son of the Hamas commander, the guy who created the organization, on his show yesterday. He's also known as the Green Prince. He grew up in the West Bank, and his father was a co-founder of Hamas. He served as a Palestinian ex-militant until 1997 when he defected to Israel. And he was on there yesterday, and here he is talking about what Hamas does with their children. So if you're thinking, you know, and listen, children, they're unfortunately brainwashed by Hamas, but this is what they do there.
In Islam, to kill for Allah is a way of worship. This is the stuff that nobody likes to talk about.
In Gaza and the West Bank, nearly 10,000 teachers and school administrators employed by UNRWA belong to Hamas-dominated unions, which call...
Yeah, UNRWA is a UN organization.
...for the destruction of Israel. UNRWA is financing school curriculums that glorify terror and suicide bombing.
Yeah.
Children are being inoculated with the belief that any and all means possible must be...
That's a mandatory vaccine.
...used to reclaim Palestine.
UNRWA students openly parade in the streets and call for Israel's destruction.
Weird.
All of this occurs in plain sight, within the watchful eye of UNRWA teachers. These students are between the ages of 8 and 10 and have already received military training.
Yeah, you know, the kids on 9/11 that were getting all the candy? They're the ones who grew up and committed the acts on October the 7th. Military age at that time. Alongside on Dr. Phil yesterday was a woman who was a senior at the University of Michigan who goes by the name of Zainab, and she had a hijab on and everything. And Dr. Phil asked her about October the 7th, that she gave a non-answer, and that didn't go over very well.
On October 7th, do you endorse that?
I reject the premise of that question because I don't believe that the person asking me that question has the moral authority to ask it until they first and foremost condemn the violent formation of Israel and the ensuing Palestinian deaths. And in fact, I find it unfair that advocates for Palestine are first forced to preemptively condemn.
She almost sounds like a squad member.
Acts of violence before.
Sounds like Rashida Tlaib.
Their platform is considered legitimate. It plays into Islamophobic trope. To you, Hamas and Palestinians are the same. They're one and the same.
After October 7th, yes, there is no difference.
Really?
This is Mossab Youssef responding.
The vast majority of the Palestinian people support Hamas. You cannot even condemn Hamas and say that what they did on October 7 was an act of a savage group. You don't have that power.
Said I condemn.
On what authority do you speak? You only speak on the authority of Hamas propaganda.
No, yes. Why do you say that I'm speaking on the authority of Hamas propaganda?
Because if you were a decent human being, you can say that the thousands were killed on October 7. That was a crime against humanity. It was a genocide.
There you go. Yeah, and one other sound. I just thought this was extraordinary. This is Dr. Phil. Confronting this woman about not answering the question immediately, saying October the 7th violence and rape and murder was unacceptable.
And when I ask you if what happened on October 7th is something you condemn, and you say, well, you have to look at that by looking at hundreds of years of conflict. No, you don't. That's either right.
That's how they justified all the violence and the murder of the summer of 2020.
Or it's wrong, and it was wrong.
It's our racial past.
And I don't need 100 years of conflict to know it was wrong. When somebody comes over a fence and goes into someone's house and burns their infant in its crib, I don't give a damn why they did it. It's wrong.
Oddly enough, our federal government is not on Dr. Phil's side. It's kind of weird, isn't it? All right, let's take a break and come back. This is The Rob Carson Show.
And when I ask you if what happened on October 7th is something you condemn, and you say, well, you have to look at that by looking at hundreds of years of conflict. No, you don't. That's either right or it's wrong.
Yeah.
And it was wrong. And I don't need 100 years of conflict to know it was wrong. When somebody comes over a fence and goes into someone's house and burns their infant in its crib, I don't give a damn why they did it. It's wrong.
But apparently our government has already forgotten that happened. Yeah. This is Jim Gossett.
Prime Minister Netanyahu has lost his way.
I say to Chuck Schumer, you have no right to tell Israel how to fight. Why don't you mind your own business? Mind your own business. Mind your own business and you won't be minding mine.
There you go. Keep your head out of here.
Chuck says that I should be replaced when his president has been disgraced. He ought to mind his own business.
Mind your own business.
Schumer, mind your own business.
Mind your own business.
Mind your own business. You're way out of line. Biden says I'm not the right man. But look at what he did in Afghanistan. He ought to mind his own business.
Mind your own business.
Mind his own business. Joe, mind your own business and just stay out of mine.
Isn't that funny? So our government now, you know, they'll draw a line in the sand. Barack Obama did it with Syria and all that. And they're always telling, don't do this, don't do that. They told Vladimir Putin, don't. They told the Syrians, don't. The Iranians, they told the Iranians, don't. And now they're literally drawing a line in the sand for our allies who are in existential fight. And they're trying to spur a leftist green revolution to overthrow the president of the country in the middle of a time of war. I think we know who the Democrats are in favor of. And again, to what Donald Trump said a couple weeks ago, you cannot be Jewish in good standing and vote Democrat. It's ridiculous. Oh, by the way, Donald Trump was on yesterday talking to Hugh Hewitt. And he said, and, you know, listen, he was the president for 4 years, so he would know. He says that Beijing is building an army inside the United States with the military age men among the more than 46,000 Chinese migrants who've crossed the border. Well, no kidding. Yeah, on Tuesday, U.S. Border Patrol agents apprehended 182 Chinese citizens who crossed the southern border into the United States in the San Diego sector. That number has grown by 7,000%. Yeah, there's something going on, obviously. It is an election year. Obviously, coming up, they're killing chickens because of bird flu, and the CDC director is saying, hey, you never know, and they're already kind of working on a vaccine. I know. They're going to try this again, I guess. I don't think it's going to work. We've got much more coming up on the show. The number is 800-922-6680. This is a Friday edition of The Rob Carson Show. Hey guys, it's Carson. Our money loses value every year due to inflation. In fact, the dollar has lost over 98% of its value relative to gold. What if you could earn income in gold, which can't get inflated away, instead of dollars? Monetary Metals does just that. They offer the ability to earn income in gold, growing your total ounces over time by leasing or loaning your gold to qualified gold-using businesses. Earn 2 to 5% annually on your gold while supporting qualified businesses in the gold industry. Or if you're an accredited investor, you could earn even higher yields, double digits, in their gold bond offerings. You can open an account directly on Monetary Metals' website in less than 15 minutes. Fund your account by purchasing gold directly from Monetary Metals at less than 1% over spot, or you can use gold you already have. They provide free shipping and insurance and free storage and insurance for any metal in your account. Opt out of the dollar, central bankers, fiat currency, the corrupt financial system, and get your own personal gold standard with Monetary Metals. Visit monetary-metals.com/Carson for more information. Again, monetary-metals.com/Carson for more information or to get started opening your account. All right, so coming up, Charlemagne the God puts nails in the casket of DEI. Women's college basketball is bigger than men's this year. I'll be watching tonight. And Eric Adams says New York City crime is way down, even though it's way up. That's all coming up. This is the Rob Carson Show.